Today's message is the source of true thanksgiving. The source of true thanksgiving. And hope that you picked up a sheet as you came in this morning. Fill in these sheets and you can take these thoughts home with you this morning. Here's the first point. Words of thanksgiving are not enough. Words of thanksgiving are not enough. So when God wants to receive thanksgiving, it's just not the words out of our mouth, but it goes much deeper. There's a source of true thanksgiving. And Matthew 15 and verse 8 speaks about this. Jesus says these words, referring to something that Isaiah said in the Old Testament about the people that were worshiping them then. And Jesus said this, "These people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I want you to know when God hears words of praise come out of our lips, He's looking through those words to see where the source is. Is it just coming from their mouth? Is it just coming from their lips? Or is it coming from their hearts? And only the praise that comes from our heart is going to be acceptable in God's presence. As a pastor, and as the worship team was here, they can attest to this. The joy of our hearts is when we see the whole congregation worshiping. Everybody singing, everybody expressing words of thanksgiving. And if everybody's doing that, we feel happy. If half the people are just sort of standing, we're not happy because we think, no, we should be praising the Lord together. And so if everybody's praising, then we're happy. But the thing is the Lord happy? Everybody could be saying words, but the Lord's looking through the words and He's saying, where is it coming from? And it's only the words of praise and thanksgiving that comes from the heart is going to be acceptable to the Lord. Because He said they're drawing near with their words. A lot of people are saying words. But their heart, the center of their being, the core of their being, is not there. And so it's not acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. So I trust, as a result of going over these verses and truths this morning, that this Thanksgiving Day will be the beginning of a great Thanksgiving that's happening 365 days a year. Because the praise and the words that's coming from our mouth are stemming from our heart. And then that's what makes it acceptable to the Lord. Next point is this. The heart is a reservoir of either good or bad. The heart is a reservoir. It's as if the heart really is neutral in some ways. And you fill your heart with things. Your heart can be filled with good things. Your heart can be filled with bad things, negative things. So your heart is in the core of your being. And every day, there's deposits being made into your heart, whether you know it or not. We choose what goes into our heart. We don't choose what comes out of our heart, because we're going to see in a moment, that's just automatic. But we get to choose what goes into our heart and what we're filling our heart with. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Things are going to spring out of your heart. Really, all the issues of spiritual life come out of your heart. If it doesn't come out of your heart, it's just words coming out of your mouth or actions you're doing. But it's not coming from the source of your heart. So the Lord discards it. And He actually is displeased with it because it's not, your heart isn't connected to it. So you're to keep your heart. Keep the reservoir of your heart. Guard your heart. Some things are should not go into your heart. And so you have to guard your heart with all diligence, because whatever gets in there, it's going to spring out. Because your words, here's the next point, your words are the overflow of your heart. Your words are the overflow of your heart. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, your words that are true, that are really the essence of your spirit, it's coming out of your heart. You could say some word just because I should say these words, but if it's not connected to your heart, it isn't true. It's just words spoken. It's like Jesus said to his disciples one day, and those that were following, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Out of their mouth, they were saying, "Lord, Lord, Master." So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? The Lord wasn't content just with hearing the words, Lord. He wasn't content with just hearing words that gave him praise. He's looking deeper to say, are those words coming from a heart? Because of the heart spring the issues of life. So really, your heart is the real you. That's why God tells us right at the beginning, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. That is the key of salvation. It's giving your heart to God. When you give your heart to God, it'll begin to change your actions. It'll begin to change your feelings. But it comes out of the heart. If it's not, he doesn't just want your actions, your presence, your contribution. He wants your heart. He wants the core of your being. So he says, give me your heart. So once you give your heart to the Lord, then he realizes every issue of spiritual life is going to spring out of that heart. He wants to fill our heart with his heart. He wants his spirit to join with our spirit. He wants to change you from the inside out. See, religion changes you from the outside in. Do this, don't do this, should do this, go here, don't go there. And they could be good within themselves. But that's not the issue of life. Out of the heart springs the issue of life. God is not content. In fact, you don't really start your spiritual life until you give him your heart. And so if you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to the Lord, I hope you really consider that. Because I tell you, there's nothing better. I mean, there's nothing that will satisfy you. There's a God-shaped hole in your heart. And you're always going to feel emptiness until you give your heart to God, and then he fills it, and then you feel content. So it comes to the heart that flows out. So now, how do you know what goes in your heart and doesn't go into your heart? Here's the next point. What you focus on will either fill your heart with gratefulness or dissatisfaction. What you focus on. I'm using the word focus, but it's not just focus alone. It's a focus on something that you embrace and you take it to heart. See, there's a lot of things happen to us we really take to heart. Other things happen to us just sort of roll off because we don't take it to heart. Many times the things we should take to heart, we don't. Things we shouldn't take to heart, we do. And so the focus, when something happens in your life, when you focus on it and lay hold of it, you have to decide, am I going to take this to heart, or is this something I need to guard my heart from that I'm not going to allow this to come into my heart. Now, this is really, really important, because this is the essence of your walk with God. This is the essence of pleasing God. It's not just words. It's not just outward actions. He's looking at our heart, and he tells us, guard your heart, because it's a reservoir. You're going to go through lots of things, and you need to take some things to heart and other things you should let go. Good and bad happens to us all. Positive things, negative things. You're going to go through it. And everybody basically has the same amount. Now, there may be some people, and God only knows why, that they go through harder things than other people. But let me say this. There is enough negative things in your life. If you focus on them and take them to heart, it will produce sadness. You'll just feel sad. Where are you sad in your heart? You might have a cheerful smile, but you're crying on the inside. There's a sadness in your heart. But there's also enough good things in your life that you could focus on those things, take those things to heart, and it would give you pleasure. It would give you satisfaction. It would give you a sense of well-being. It's what's in your heart. Sometimes we think, oh, if that didn't happen to me, I'd be happy. No. Because there's enough good things in your heart that if you took those to heart, that thing wouldn't bother. You see someone else going through those things, and you marvel. Well, how can they handle that? Things that trip some people up are not tripping other people up. The difference is some people are taking it to heart. Other people are not taking it to heart. Some people are guarding their heart. Other people are not guarding their heart. So your heart determines your sense of well-being. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So here's the key. It's not the ingredients of your life. It's not the components of your life that's determining it. What's determining it is how much you're guarding your heart. Are you allowing good things to come into your heart? Or are you allowing negative things to come into your heart? That is the key. That's what you need to distinguish. And rather than focusing on outward things, just focus on what you are allowing your heart to lay hold of and receive. I put this definition in your notes. Gratefulness. Thanksgiving comes out of gratefulness. Gratefulness is a heartfelt feeling of appreciation for what you have received. It produces a feeling of well-being. Do you feel well? Is it well with your soul? We sing an old hymn, "It's well with my soul." Well, what causes your soul to be well or not well? It depends what you allow into your soul or into your heart. You can allow negatives comes in, because the reservoir will fill itself with negative thoughts, negative feelings, and then out of that you're going to speak and you're going to respond. It comes what's in your heart. And so you'll either speak good things or you speak negative things. So I put in your notes, gratefulness is the joy of your heart. Being grateful, expressing thanksgiving, expressing praise, it's the joy, the sense of well-being of your heart. What is the state of your heart? What is the predominant ingredients or aspects you've allowed into your heart? Because out of your heart, a good man will take good things out of the treasure of his heart, out of the chest of his heart, out of the reservoir of his heart. A negative person, an evil person, will take out of the heart the negative things. Now here's the thing, folks. You're really not choosing what comes out of your heart. You choose what goes into your heart. Because out of your heart is the overflow of your words. And your heart will determine your mood. Are you sad? Are you depressed? Are you down? Are you discouraged? And then we say, oh God, I take this thing away so I don't feel discouraged anymore. That's not the thing that's discouraging you. It's what you've embraced and taken to heart. Have you taken good things to heart, or are you taking bad things to heart? You see, no one wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I think I should just really complain today. Haven't complained for a while. Let me think of something I can complain about today. No, you don't, because out of your heart comes the overflow of your words. And I put this, complaint is the displeasure of your heart. Your heart isn't happy. Your heart isn't pleased. Your heart is discontent. You're feeling some kind of loss. You feel like something's been taken away from me. You're feeling deprived. This shouldn't be. So you feel sad. Now the thing is, you think, if I can change that, I'd be happy. But folks, there's good and bad that happens to us all. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's negative things happen to good people. You know, the question is, why do bad things happen to good people? Because it's just life. It just happens. That's how life is. That's why you have to guard your heart. What are you putting in your heart? Oh, this terrible thing. Oh, I can't control this thing. But you have to reject that. Don't let that go into your heart and fill your heart with, but God's in control. God knows about this. God cares. God will work this together for good. I can't control this, but God can. He's working it together for good. You're feeling your heart. You're choosing to embrace those truths into your heart. And when you do, if you do that in the most predominant way, it will fill your heart. And then the overflow of your heart, you won't have to think, oh, what can I thank God for? Oh, everything's so terrible. What can I thank God for? I got to thank God for something. No, the predominant of your heart, it'll just flow out. It'll spring out when your heart's right, when your heart's good, when you've guarded your heart, where you haven't held on to hurts and negative things and the offenses that's come your way. Just know, the Bible says, in this world, you're going to suffer tribulation. In this world, offenses will come. People will talk ill of you. They'll hurt you. They'll neglect you. They'll despise you. And so if you hold all those things and take it to heart, well, you'll mumble, you'll complain, you'll be discouraged. All the negative things will flow out of your heart. But if you fill it with good things, and say, you know what? I'm in this world. God's got a plan and purpose for me. And so I can't control what I'm going through. It's going to be good and bad, but I know God knows. God's allowed me to go through this. Then he's got a purpose in it. See, we sort of think, I go through life like this. There's bad and good things. I'm avoiding that bad thing, jumping over here. And all of a sudden, a bad thing hits us. Oh, why did that happen? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I go there? Why did I say that? And we're trying to dodge all these things, thinking that it's the happenings in our life that's determining our joy. But a Christian doesn't go that way. Christian walks through confidently through life. We sang the song, I'm confident he goes before me. He's guiding me. He's directing me. If he's allowed this thing to happen, well, then it's for a purpose. He's more concerned about how I respond to this than how I think about how negative this is. God wants me to do something. God wants me to respond in a certain way. And so he looks at that in our heart. And he doesn't want us to focus on the loss. He wants us to look at the potential good. He doesn't want us to complain. Here's the next point. God detests complaint. We don't think so. Well, I'm only complaining because I have something to complain about. If that didn't happen, I wouldn't complain. I can't help it. That shouldn't have happened, so I'm complaining. They shouldn't have acted that way, so I'm complaining. They should have done this, so I'm complaining. This portion in Numbers 11 and verse 1, it's God speaking about the children of Israel. They're traveling through the wilderness. They're in a desert place. They don't have food. So the Lord provides manna from heaven. Every day they get manna from heaven, and it sustains them. But they get tired of it. Manna? We had manna yesterday. Manna again? And they start complaining. What about meat? Why are we only having manna? And it's understandable. We don't like to eat the same thing all the time, even if we liked it at first. These people are no different. So they start complaining. And God doesn't say, I know. That's understandable. Listen to what God says. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. You know the Lord hears every complaint you make. Every negative statement out of your mouth, the Lord hears it. And he's not pleased with the negative things. He's not pleased with the murmuring and the complaining and the grumbling. You know why? God, if we've given our life to the Lord and we say, Lord, guide and direct me, now we're going through something that I don't like. Now I complain. Well, who are we complaining against? Ultimately, God. And as was said earlier, why do bad things happen to good people? Because that's just the way it is, folks. It's just the way life is. And so why complain? Rather focus, guard your heart from that, and open your heart to say, God, how do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do in this situation? Listen to this next verse in Philippians 2:14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. You do a lot of damage when you complain. That you'll be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You are in a crooked and perverse generation. A lot of bad things are going to happen towards you. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. He wants us to shine. He wants us to be different. Why? How? By not murmuring and complaining. Facing things without being discontent. Now listen, it doesn't mean your emotions aren't stirred and you have negative emotions. That's okay. But you have to guard your heart from negative emotions. It's okay to cry. It's all right to have tears. Remember when we talked about Job? Job had a lot of negative emotions. And he just blurted those emotions out to God. But where was Job's heart? He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was Job's heart. He didn't allow all the negative things to affect his heart where he had cursed God. He protected his heart. But you can't change your emotion. I don't want you to feel, I can't feel anything. No, your emotions will be up and down with the circumstances of life. What you have to do is guard your heart from that, the core of your being. Say, yes, I know I'm going through this. This is not a pleasant thing to go through. You know what? I've cried tears over this. But God's in control. God's bigger than this. He wants me to act in a certain way that I'm blameless and I don't do any harm and I go through life and I'm going to shine like a bright light. This is what God has for us. That's what should be in your heart. Then you feel well in your soul. And then out of your soul, out of your heart, is going to come words of praise and thanksgiving that's legitimate in the midst of hard times. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Your heart is content in God. Your heart is trusting in God, not in the outward circumstances. I know God can meet my needs. He can meet all of my needs. So I'm trusting him. May not be happening in my time frame. not be happening the way I thought it was going to. But that's okay, because I have a bigger trust in God than I do in the circumstances I'm going through. So you've guarded your heart. This is so key. So if you don't want to complain, it's not stifling the complaints out of your mouth. And sometimes we do that, you know. We know we shouldn't complain. Oh, I shouldn't feel that way. I shouldn't think that way. And we try to stifle the complaint. We bite our tongue. And we think, wow, I did a good thing there. No, God sees your heart. He says that complaint's coming out of a heart that's not healthy. You've accepted a lot of false ideas and a lot of false views and philosophies of this world, and it's affecting your heart. So you need to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to stifle the complaint. I realize I need to fill my heart with good things, because there's some negative things coming out my mouth, and it's coming out of things that I've allowed into my heart. So you go purge your heart. Cleanse my heart, O God, was the prayer of David. And he said, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and that all that is within me, bless his holy name. David went through a lot of difficult things, and he could have reacted in a negative way, but he didn't. He could have killed Saul. And his servants around him said, hey, God delivered Saul, and kill him. This is the man that was the king. And David said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. He protected his heart. And God loved his heart, because his heart was after God. And so we need to say, God, cleanse my heart. I want to purge my heart. And realize your heart is not just some nebulous thing. No, it's the reservoir of everything that you've experienced, that you've taken to heart, you've held on to. You believe some lies that's not true. So the only way to get your heart right is get God's truth into it. And let his word get into your heart. And his word will purify your heart and change your attitudes. So you're not just trying to say the right thing. No, now springing out of my heart are the right things. The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable in the sight of the Lord, because it's starting in my heart and it's coming out. Listen to the next point. The enemy of contentment, this is so important. The enemy of contentment is expectation and comparison. Expectation and comparison. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul's contentment wasn't determined by what he had. I have a lot now. I'm content. I don't have very much now, so I'm not content. Paul said, I've learned something. This is what you got to learn. You learn it by guarding your heart. We're all going to have times of abundance. We're going to have times when we don't have, in every aspect of life. So you have to learn to be content at whatever stage you are. So as much as we celebrate marriage, but if you're single, you need to be content with being single and say, God, how can I bless others around me in my state of singleness? Because if God has allowed you at that moment to be single, his plan and purpose is for you. And you don't have to be discontent. You don't have to, you know, mourn and wish after something else. Now, whether that's marriage or a job or a relationship, or, you know, it just goes on and on. Just learn whatever state you are in to be content and guard your heart. Say, God's planned this. Obviously, this is what he has for me right now. If you can't change it, then accept it and be content. Doesn't mean you don't pray. It doesn't mean that you don't aspire. But in that, you're not, it hasn't affected your heart. Your heart is content. You're just at peace. And then follow the leadings of God's Spirit. Because the Spirit is going before you, and if he has someone for you, you'll come across that person. it'll happen. And it doesn't mean you don't take steps either towards that. It just means your heart's content. Okay. So don't allow your life to be such that I'm content only when I look at my life, I'm getting what I expect. Here's the next verse. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So I'm okay. God's with me. He's going before me. He's got a plan for my life. He wants me to shine like a bright light. He's going to bring the ultimate to me when he desires it. I'm just going to make my way pleasing to the Lord. And when your heart is healthy, you'll do the right thing, you'll say the right thing, you'll be encouragement to other people. But if your heart's evil, then it's hard not to do it. So listen to what Jesus said. We've used these verses before. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, how can you do that? Unless your heart's aligned with it. You know, you could try to spit words out of blessing someone that's hurt you, but your heart's holding on to the hurt. You're resentful. It's hard to pray for them, hard to bless them. But it isn't when your heart's been guarded and your heart's right with God and it's well with your soul and you're trusting in God. He's my helper. God's going before me. And so then you can do automatically all the things that the scripture says that we can't do with a bad heart, and we have so much trouble obeying God's word when our heart's not in it. So the key, whether it's praise or right actions, are coming out of a heart that's aligned with God's heart. So this is how I sort of word it this way. A heart is a scale. Another way of looking at a heart. Your heart is a scale. It's weighing some things. It weighs what I received against what I expected to receive. Expectation is the enemy of your joy. I expected this to happen. I expected God to answer my prayer. I expected that person to do what's right. I expected that person to be responsive. I expected them to do the right thing. Because they didn't, I'm discontent. And so our expectations destroys your contentment. So you have to guard your heart, listen, from expectations. And the second one is comparison. You weigh what I have against what I perceive others to have. I have this, but man, they have that. And when I compare myself, now I get discontent. Why should they have it? Why do they get all the breaks? Why did they get the promotion? I should have had that. Why did they get the praise and the recognition? Didn't they know what I did? Why does no one appreciate me around here? You compare yourself with other people. Now listen, it's the way you perceive them to be. You know, you can compare your marriage against someone else's marriage, your spouse against someone else's spouse, and you say, I wish they were like that, but you don't know what that person's like in that marriage. You have a perception. And so your comparison is against the reality of what you have and what you perceive the best of what the other person or the other couple have. So you got to guard your heart. Guard your heart against this. Say, I'm not going to let my heart be filled with that. I'm not going to let that overbalance, that my heart's tipped in the other direction. So you are guarding your heart. You realize God's with you. You've given your heart to God. You've given your life to God. The circumstances you're going through, you can't control. If you can, well, then change things. But most things we can't control, and it causes us to be discontent. I'm telling you some things here that will transform your life. Now let's read Philippians 4, 6, and 9. It sort of pulls it all together. Pastor David used these first verses earlier. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's the heart of thanksgiving. Your heart's at rest. You're still making your request. Doesn't mean you don't pray for things to change. But your heart's at rest. There's thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, all understanding. See, this is why we shine like a bright light. People can't understand why you're okay with what's going on in your life. So you shine like a bright light, and you're able to tell people, you know, my confidence is in the Lord. I trust God. He's going to work this out. I have a peace in my heart. They don't understand that peace, but you do. And notice, which surpasses all understanding, and again this phrase, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your hearts and your minds need to be guarded. So that's the task. Not just trying to say the right words. It's aligning your heart with God's heart. Filling your heart with good things. Because your heart's a treasure chest. And out of your treasure chest of your heart's going to come good or bad, depending on what you put in it. I want to fill my heart with good things. And as a result, your last point. Thanksgiving is the overflow of a heart full of gratitude. Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving Sunday. But if we want to be thankful all the time, you got to fill your heart with good things, and you're thankful to God, and you praise God, and it's not, I just got to try, and I got to try. Just guard your heart and get deeper, dig deeper. It's hard to change your emotions. It's actually hard to change your thoughts sometimes. You just have to go deeper and give your heart to God, surrender it to God, say, God, show me. He'll give you verses. He'll give you promises, things you hold on to. Get it in your heart. God's truth in your heart will purge your heart. The way you get negative things out of your heart, know God's word. Put his word into your heart. Meditate on his word day and night. Then everything you do will prosper. Isn't that what the tells us? We meditate on his word day and night. Meditate. In other words, you're taking those things to heart. Meditate on it day and night. Everything you do will prosper then. It's an amazing, amazing promise. So the three final verses here, and I want to just speak it over us today. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So every song we sing, every word out of our mouth that magnifies the Lord, may it come from a heart that's filled with his goodness. Psalm 95, 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. So we're careful as we come into his presence. We're getting down to our heart and say, God, purge my heart, change my heart, purify my heart, I'm aligning my heart. And the words out of your mouth will be precious. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Stand with me this morning. Normally, sometimes at the end of a message like this, We'd get everybody to shout, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. We say it all together, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this message this morning, I just want us to dig a little deeper, and I want you just to expose your heart to the Lord and say, God, purify my heart. I've allowed a lot of negative things to get into my heart. It's pulled me in the wrong direction. It's caused me to have moods that I don't want to have. It's caused me to say words that are hurtful and damaging to other people. But they just sprung out of me without me even thinking. Lord, purge my heart, change my heart. Give me a different perspective. I'm inviting you to give your heart afresh and new to the Lord. You're here this morning and you've never actually done that. You can do that right simple right now this morning. Just say, Lord, I give you my heart. I don't even know how to do that, Lord. I just surrender. Take my heart. And then just follow. Follow your heart after that, because he'll direct you. And for the rest of us that we're struggling with some things, you're finding a hard time to do the things that you know you should, then realize, you know what, my heart's not right. So Lord, purify my heart. Help me to do the things that puts good things into my heart. So I want to pray for myself. I want to pray for you all this morning. So let's just enter his presence now. Lord, it said, enter your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. We bless your name this morning. We say, Lord, you do all things well. We say, Lord, your mercy endures forever. We say your love is sufficient for us. We proclaim with our mouth, Lord, that you are good. We're entering it with thanksgiving. And Lord, I ask that our hearts would be pure. Purge our hearts, that those words come out of a genuine heart surrendered to you. We want to hold nothing back. We give you our heart. Take our heart. Massage our heart. Purge our heart. Fill our heart with good things so that we could live our life according to your will and your purpose. You see each one here. You do not despise one of us if we just pray sincerely from our heart. And we are praying from our hearts today, Lord. We say, Lord, we give you our hearts. Transform us into your image. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody again said,